Welcome to another edition of Yukon Farm Talks. This is a live video podcast series where we talk with people in the agriculture industry who share important and relevant information and insights for new and beginning farmers and ranchers. These are fairly short and focused conversations that generally last about 20 to 30 minutes. First, we ask our guests to share their story in agriculture, and then we ask them to talk about one thing that they think someone getting started in agriculture needs to know. For those of you tuning into the live Zoom feed, we hope you'll submit questions in the chat window. As we get to the end, I'll try to pick out a question to ask our guests. All of these shows are recorded and posted online on our webpage, where you'll also find an online discussion forum. You can ask questions in the forum anytime, and we'll respond to additional questions there that we don't get to during the live episode. Our guest today is Garrett Horton. Garrett grew up on a farm north of Riverton, Wyoming. Throughout his youth on the farm, a passion for agriculture was cultivated. In college, he pursued a degree in agribusiness at the University of Wyoming. He recognized the farm he grew up on and loved so much was not large enough to come back to immediately following college. While he was still searching for a career coming out of school, he fell into an internship with Farm Credit Services of America. He enjoyed working with production agriculture through agricultural lending and pursued that path with Farm Credit Services of America, with his first role as an associate in the corporate headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska. After a short stint there, he relocated with the company to Northwest Wyoming as a financial officer, where he continues in that role for 14 years now. Here he met his wife, Katie, started his family, and purchased his first farm. They now have a family of three boys, Jack, 5, Connor, 2, and Owen, 5 months, and farm site alongside his partner, Armando Rios, with the help of his uncle and cousin. Additionally, he and his two brothers run a cow-calf herd together, headquartered back on the farm where he grew up. Among other leadership activities, Garrett serves as a member of the University of Wyoming College of Agriculture, Life Sciences, and Natural Resources Advisory Board. Garrett and I first met serving together on this board. Welcome, Garrett.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah, we always We always start off this conversation by giving our guests a chance to talk about their own story in agriculture. I know you started out growing up on a farm, then you've certainly spent a lot of time around agriculture and the ag community throughout your career with Farm Credit Service of America. Can you tell us about your background, how you got to this point in your life and career, and maybe talk a little more about how and why you've chosen to stay involved in production agriculture over the years?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Keith. Ever since I was a kid, I enjoyed all the aspects of living on the farm. I especially enjoyed when I got old enough to operate the equipment. I lived in the tractors and thought that was the best place to be. And as time went on, I thought I was just going to come back to the farm, go to college for my 4 years, get an education, and come right back to the farm immediately. And it took about a semester in school to realize that the scale of things, and I knew how to operate the equipment, I knew how to change water, I knew all the tasks on the farm, but I couldn't even wrap my mind around the business of farming and the financial aspects of it. And with that, I kind of went into the agribusiness and knowing that I knew how to do the physical parts of the farm, but I didn't know how to operate a business, and that's what it is at the end of the day. And then through school, I knew I was going to have to go do something for a while, but in the back of my mind, I always wanted to get back to farming. Even when I interviewed for my position that I'm still in with Farm Credit Services of America, they asked me where I'd be in 10 years, and I said I'd be owning a farm, so, and I'd be farming somewhere. So you know, I knew then that I would figure out a way to do it. And it took a lot of time to get there. You know, there was a lot of different things that popped up through the years, and just weren't the right opportunity at the different avenues. But, you know, finally got there, what, 4 years ago. We ended up buying our farm in 2019. But I think more importantly than that, I found a great partner in this life with my wife and Katie, and we started our family. And I think I'm fortunate enough that I'll hopefully be able to raise my boys similar to the way I grew up. And I'm looking forward to that.
That's great. You mentioned that it takes some time, and you looked at some different opportunities. Could you expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah. So, and that's kind of, I guess, going to my one thing about, you know, something that's kind of been in the background of all of the decisions that I've made through the years. And I didn't even know what I was kind of doing it all along was, it's a concept of aggressive patience. And I don't know, you can get online and you can see it. There's different places. It's a lot in training and, you know, self-help and that kind of stuff. But, you know, those two words together mean something entirely different than they do separately. I mean, they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum as far as, you know, their definitions. But when you put them together, I think it really highlights what it takes to get back or to, you know, persevere and get in back into farming, because the barriers are so high these days. So, I mean, it takes so much time, but you've got to be patient in one aspect to wait for those opportunities, but you also have to be moving the ball forward, you know, in little increments all along to be able to act on those opportunities when they are presented to you. So like in my personal, you know, I spent hours online looking at different farms and stuff from the time I bought my first house in Grable. And, you know, I didn't want to buy a house in town. I didn't want to live in town, but it was one step, and I wasn't renting. I bought a house, built some equity. And, you know, and since then we sold that house. We've sold two more houses. The last was a small acreage. So each step got me a little bit closer to where I wanted to be. But I mean, it took a lot of time, and, you know, there was, you know, I have a bad habit. My wife gives me grief about it constantly. I watch all the online auction sites, the Big Irons and the Swensons and all that stuff, and watch for, you know, things that I would love to buy. In most cases, I never even bid on them, but, you know, I'm watching them, and I know that, you know, maybe I can afford, you know, little pieces of it. And through the years, I've pieced together small portions of what I need. But, you know, it just takes so much time. But being patient and, you know, moving things in small increments it's a huge driving factor in getting me and my family back to where I wanted to be, which is farming.
Well, thanks for starting to talk about your one thing, and it's fairly obvious we're going to have quite a few more questions, because it is very interesting, that opposition there between aggressiveness and patience. You mentioned that business aspect of the business that worried you most when you started there at the university, and as you considered returning to farming. What advice would you offer to someone looking to get started on where to get training in that part of managing a farm or ranch? And looking back, do you wish you might have started on that a little earlier?
The only introduction I had to the business side of of agriculture would be, you know, record books and stuff in 4-H, and that's a small piece of it, but you don't really have an appreciation at that time, or at least I didn't. And it took, I mean, not long in college and being away from the farm to know that, you know, the business aspects of it are not overlooked, but it wasn't something we discussed. I mean, mom and dad took care of the business piece of it. I took care of, you know, making sure the fences were up and the corn was cultivated and the physical aspects of it. You just don't, I guess, have an appreciation for the business aspect until you're exposed to it a little bit. And I guess as far as training, I mean, there's more and more out there. I mean, forums like this, you know, there's different, you know, podcasts and different things at your fingertips now with your phone. I mean, you can watch different things constantly if you really wanted to, and subscribe to different people that have different views on how to operate a business. But I mean, the university was a solid foundation in my training. I mean, from the aspect of the, you know, the business and the different pieces of a farming operation that you just aren't exposed to, you know, as a kid working on the farm.
So working with FCSA, you've obviously met a lot of folks in production agriculture. What other careers or skill sets do you see that would be beneficial, or that you see in successful operations that would enable them to be aggressively patient?
Yes, I've gained a lot of experience through Farm Credit Services of America. I get the opportunity to see how, you know, hundreds of different operators do similar. I mean, similar. They're all similar in their outputs, but how they get to that output is unique to each operation and their unique set of resources. I mean, all these farms and ranches are all very unique, especially in Wyoming, because we have, you know, different water rights. We got you know, different land uses, and you know, it's very diverse, I guess would be the best way to put it. But I guess trainings, you know, experience from the community. I mean, I've benefited from, you know, watching my folks farm. I learned from them growing up. I spent a couple summers working for an uncle, and he's 10 miles apart from my mom and dad, and he does things a lot different than they've done. And I learned a lot in those couple summers. And then, you know, being around other, you know, young operators and stuff through Farm Credit, I took a lot of pride in working with young operators and seeing, you know, them doing the same things I'm trying to do now. So it's just being out and being, I think, involved in your ag communities and stuff, and asking questions. I mean, sitting down with someone and, you know, understanding how they, you know, grow their crops, or how they're marketing their cattle and stuff, and learning from those around you. I think there's kind of a hesitation that, you know, most ag operators aren't willing to share that, but when you sit around at a kitchen table or wherever, at a University of Wyoming football game, and talk to any of those, an ag producer there, he's going to tell you, you know, the good and bad and what he wouldn't do and what he'll do every year, kind of thing. So I think experience from other operators is probably as much benefit as anything.
Very often, some of the actions we take today won't give the results that we're looking for tomorrow. How do you recommend that someone getting started in ag sort through possible actions to identify those that are the most likely to lead to the results that they'd like to see?
Well, I think I've never been one to like set goals, you know, write them down and do that kind of stuff. But in the back of my mind, I always wanted to farm. And so everything I did, you know, leading up to it were small little steps. So I think as a starting operator, or that's what you want to do, you put that major goal way out there and know that you're working towards it. And you take steps to get there. So like, you know, coming out of college, I have a really well-paying job. You know, the first thing you want to do is go buy a new vehicle, or that side-by-side, or a four-wheeler, or whatever, ATV. The fun things that, you know, you went from being a poor college kid to now I've got some money. Well, I can go afford that $60,000 pickup, or, well, now it's a $90,000 pickup. But, you know, avoiding those types of things. I mean, yeah, it feels good, but it doesn't help you build towards your ultimate goal. So, I think that's the biggest piece of it is realizing that you, even though you could afford some of those things, those pleasures or comforts or whatever, that you know, hold back and realize that you're building towards something bigger, and you maybe abstain from buying something that isn't contributing towards your goal. I mean, I think the first big purchase I bought was a backhoe that we could use back with the cattle we'd bought. And so I could write the, you know, have the backhoe, it can contribute to the farm, because, or the cattle operation at the time, is how we got started with the cows is we ended up with a pasture adjacent to my parents' farm. And so we started building up the cow herd, and we started building equity through that cow herd. And ultimately that's been able to, you know, build some assets. We got some trucks and we got some stuff that's built towards, you know, that cattle herd and that operation, but then we've been able to apply it up to our farming operation as well.
And you mentioned earlier acting on an opportunity when it arrives. Sometimes those are difficult to recognize. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, especially if it's not exactly the opportunity that you might have imagined, that there's some things that are a little different?
I mean, it's unique to each person. I mean, in our, like in my personal story, you know, I wanted to put together a farm, you know, right off the bat. And in a couple, we put in an offer on a little piece of grass that would have allowed us to grow our cattle herd. And we put an offer in on a farm, you know, down the road. And we flushed those out. And after you sat down with them and really worked through the numbers and really understood, you know, those didn't make sense at the time. But you explored them, and you took the time to look through them and see how it could work into your ultimate goal. But, you know, you weren't so, I guess, overly excited about it that you lost sight of, you know, the bigger picture. And you know, some of those opportunities you got to let go by because they aren't the right one. And even though when you let those go by, you're still taking those baby steps towards that bigger goal and being patient. I mean, patience has been something else. That's probably been the toughest part of it. But in each of those instances, you know, it didn't work out, and you recognized it wasn't going to be the right opportunity. So you walked away from it, but you knew it was the right decision. So again, it's realizing you have a clear goal at the end of the day, and then sticking to, a plan to get there, I guess.
You talked a little bit about piecing together the resources you need to make the farm go. Do you have any advice on that aspect of pulling together resources, for example, leasing or other creative arrangements for ownership that folks might consider?
Absolutely. I mean, we were fortunate to start growing our cattle herd right on the farm. And it wasn't 2 or 3 years out of college that we basically maxed out what we could have for cows. About 60 cows is what we could run year round on the farm. So that's where we started looking for other opportunities to grow that herd. Like I said, we had an opportunity to buy a piece of grass that, you know, it just wasn't the right one, but we had those 60 cows paid off. They were, you know, free and clear. And then when we did finally find a pasture that we could rent, and that was the only way we were going to get into enough room to grow that herd, we've been able to, you know, grow the herd and aggressively pay down that debt. And then, I mean, ultimately, we hope to, you know, buy a ranch at some point. But we first had to get some ground to lease. And then we had to get the debt on those cows paid off to get there. So, you know, that's steps. And I mean, that's taken pretty near 15 years. So, again, just a lot of time and looking at different smaller opportunities. I think everybody there's in our culture today, there's such a, I guess everything's immediate. I mean, you can, you know, with your phone, you can order anything you want. You can get on Amazon and you can have stuff shipped to you in the next couple of days, and in places you can get it in hours. I mean, this culture of everything happening immediately, it bleeds into everything you do. And I think it definitely bleeds into, you know, your ideology on what you can do on a farm or ranch, and thinking, well, maybe I'll just go buy 300 head of cows, or I've got this opportunity to buy this ranch or lease this grass, and everybody tries to take a big chunk of it all at once. And with today's barriers, I mean, cattle are super expensive. Your equipment increased 300% since 2021. I mean, huge financial barriers. Interest rates are, you know, twice what they were 3 years ago. So, I mean, those are huge things that are going to require you to take more baby steps to get along or get through this, because there's not the room. I mean, farm and ranches work on really tight margins anyhow. So.
Well, to kind of wrap up, here's the last question that I've got. Obviously, you also work as a financial services officer with Farm Credit Service. How do you balance your professional career, farm work, and family life? And it's tricky. Don't need to go on for 10 minutes or anything, but
it's very tricky. It's very tricky. In our case, you know, my wife was able to step back and you know, raise our boys. She was working full time as well, so we were both working full time. That's helped tremendously. She can help around the farm. And then in my scenario, you know, I've kept working, and I've been very fortunate to partner with someone that is able to handle more of the day-to-day stuff of the farm. And I kind of fill in. I'm the part-time labor, the nights and weekends and whatnot. So that's how it's made it work. I can be there from a financial aspect. I can help, you know, by injecting, you know, my off-farm income into the overall operation, and I can take care of the, you know, the paperwork and the stuff that you can do in the evenings and you can do, you know, first thing in the morning. But I do miss out on a lot of the aspects during the day because I have a full-time job I've got to take care of. But that full-time job is what has allowed me to get back to farming. And now I just use my vacations a lot differently. My vacations use chopping corn or thrashing barley. You know, I guess because that's where I want to be, it's worked very well for me. But I guess that's unique to each person.
Barrett, thanks so much for talking with us today. We appreciate your taking the time to share your insights and experiences for the benefit of new and beginning farmers.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
That will do it for this episode of You Can Farm Talks. Thanks to those of you who took the time to join this live discussion and submit questions. The recording for this episode and all of our previous episodes will be posted and archived on our website and on our YouTube page. If you had any more questions, or if you're watching the recorded episode and didn't get a chance to ask those questions, please feel free to send questions via email, or even better, by adding them to the online discussion forum. We will try to respond to as many questions as we can and share the answers online. Stay tuned for more information about the next You Can Farm Talks conversation. We'll be sharing details about who our next guest will be and when the episode will take place soon. Check back on our You Can Farm website and Facebook page. Funding for this program has been provided by the USDA NEFA BFRDP program. We'd also like to thank Custom Ag Solutions, Right Risk, and especially our partners at University of Wyoming Extension. And we'd especially like to thank Garrett Horton for joining us tonight. Thanks for listening to You Can Farm Talks.